There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You're damn right we start now on a Football Friday, baby. Get involved. Text in 713-572-4610. You got us on the Odyssey app. You got us on the YouTube. You got us on the Twitch. When I say us, a little bit different version of us on this day as John Lopez is doing whatever the hell he is on this Friday. And so we welcome in the guy Luke Morrow. What's happening, Luke?
Hey, what's going on? Good to be here. You know, last time I filled in on this show, I was confused. People texted in, said I looked a lot like the co-host that day, Sean Bajani. So today I wore a hat so that we wouldn't have the same confusion.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, well, I feel like that the hat is definitely the biggest differentiator of between us two.
Yeah,
there's nothing else that happened.
No. Yeah, y'all really don't look alike too much.
What is it, the braids, to quote Kendrick Lamar? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
If you ain't had the braids, man, I'd be kind of confused.
Yeah, me and Luke would be twins at that point. Mm-hmm. In fact, I might call him twin all day. I feel like we've also, Sean gave us a gift as he was handing it off. I feel like over the course of this program, we need to put together a football lawsuit. Just who did crimes against humanity in football? So go ahead and text those in as we go along the show. I don't know how I'm going to manage to handle that, but I'm just going to try my best. I've got myself a little docket pending here. So text those in throughout the program. 713-572-4610. Let's see if we can put together a good class action.
Yeah, I mean, add Nathan Peterman to that list right away. I mean, there's so many to choose from over the years, and hopefully not many on the Texan side.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, the Peterman. I like the Peterman. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and put that down. Defendant number one, Nathan Peterman. Very good. But yeah, that's happening, and the reason why that came up in the course of the cross, if you were not listening all of 3 minutes ago, was, hey man, Brian Flores in this thing has a little bit of a revenge aspect going back to his lawsuit where he had very many people in the NFL.
I totally forgot
that
about
he was aggrieved
this too.
By. Yeah, man. I didn't forget about the lawsuit, but I did forget that the Texans were involved there, and specifically like the circumstances that got you there for Brian Flores. And I don't know, in thinking about it, because I do want to ask over the course of this first segment, just like who will have the biggest impact in their revenge games. I mean, Flores is going to have an impact, and obviously the ways that he does things, but it's funny to think about, like, clearly you could see some players, you know, playing hard, making a big play and things like that. I do wonder, like, what would be the tangible vision of Brian Flores getting his revenge in this game? Like, obviously, there's the scheming aspect, but does he end up with the Mike Tomlin on the sideline tripping somebody? Right? Like, how does he affect his revenge in a way that is more tangible?
I think there's always been that chip on the shoulder of Flores in Minnesota the last 2 years because of that lawsuit, regardless of the opponent, whether it's the Texans or anyone else, trying to show how good of a coach he is. I mean, he was out of the league. Tomlin gives him a chance, the aforementioned Tomlin in Pittsburgh, just to be like a linebacker's coach. And then he becomes defensive coordinator in Minnesota, and he's done a great job the last 2 years. And I think he's just taking it out on everybody each week to show, like, hey, I am a really good coach. Things ended awkwardly, obviously, in Miami. And plus, he's a Belichick guy. So I think he always has that chip on his shoulder of trying to prove people wrong and having that kind of nasty side to him. There might be a little extra this weekend against the Texans, but I think every week for Flores trying to show, hey, you know, I should be a coach in this league. And I'll also say, not often does that guy get an opportunity. I mean, not to go down the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, but people always point to, he's suing the league. Of course, why would the league want to bring him in? Similar, not often can you sue your employer and still get a job from said employer. So it's interesting that Flores is the defensive coordinator with the lawsuit going on, and he's been doing a great job, and I'm sure there'll be a little extra something this Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to make. I just also wonder, like, how does that actually come through? Like, what is that? Does he send a few extra blitzes, right, as opposed to just simulated? He's like, no, we're sending 5 or 6 on this one just to do it. I want them to feel this pain. But all right, so we say that, and I don't want to overlook the things with this game. Obviously, big-time game, couple of 2-0 teams, probably – and I mean, probably feels light, right? It's the biggest test that the Texans have had thus far, mm-hmm. especially when you look at the way that we now see the Colts after, you know, seeing them go all wrong in week two against the Packers and look woeful once more, right? Maybe that it was a little bit more lopsided of a matchup than we had previously imagined going into week one. But, right, there's some revenge elements to this, right? There's a lot of familiarity between these two teams. And Nick Caserio was asked earlier in this week just about, you know, how much stock you can put into the whole guys playing against their former teams thing.
It's probably more common than you realize. Players change teams often,
right?
Mm-hmm. So typically you're going to see a number of players that were either in your building, they were in another building, they're going to come through your building. Once you get into the season, it's really about that week and the game plan specific to that opponent. So is there some familiarity with our players? There always is, but you see it across the league. Like typically every team that you play against, probably somebody that you've either been with or coach, same thing on a coaching front. So familiarity, you know, there is there and exists, but sometimes there's probably a little bit too much emphasis that's placed on Frank Foley.
You with Nick Caserio on playing down the idea of the revenge game?
In general, maybe. I mean, right, big breaking news there in the beginning about, hey, guys change teams all the time in the NFL. Yeah, I know.
No way. Get out of here.
I was shocked to hear it, too. But I do think in this particular instance, there is a pretty big revenge factor in the sense of specifically, obviously, Stephon Diggs. We know about that whole story. And even him and Justin Jefferson. I mean, it didn't end well with Diggs in Minnesota. And from my friends there in Minnesota, they tell me this is a big game for Justin Jefferson, too. I know he's got the injury concern, but you know, I'm told there's no chance he's going to miss this one because he wants to be out there to go up against Stephon Diggs. Because even for Justin Jefferson, just to stray away from the main point here for a second, it's like the guy in a relationship and his girlfriend says, like, hey, my ex is going to be at this event that we're going to tonight.
Yeah.
You want to do your
Dress
best.
It up.
Justin
Dress
Jefferson
it up.
Replaced Stephon Diggs, so now they're going head-to-head. You know, he wants to do his part on the other side as well, and Diggs returned to Minnesota. So I think for both those guys, Diggs is an emotional guy to begin with, and I think this game will carry a little something extra for him. Danielle Hunter didn't have such an ugly exit in Minnesota, so maybe not so much. But for Hunter, I forgot who said it after last week's game against the Bears, but somebody on the Texans defense said, yeah, Hunter was telling us, you know, what to look for in the Bears offensive line because he went up against that offensive line for years. Well, imagine what he knows about that Vikings offensive line. And that offense having just come from Minnesota where he spent his entire career. So I think for Diggs, it's more of that emotional thing that he wants to put on a big show. Danielle Hunter, I think, has that edge where he could take advantage of the X's and O's and help out his fellow defensive linemen as well in this matchup on Sunday. So I think to answer your question, all that said, long-winded answer, I don't buy the Caserio thing for this specific game because I think there's something kind of on the line for both those.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, familiarity is the word that keeps coming up because it's just, it's a lot deeper here, right? It's deeper than rap in this one. And you mentioned Danielle Hunter and how, you know, there's people on this defense talking about the idea of, hey, man, he just had such a good, you know, understanding of what the Bears were doing and being able to do that. Matt Burke yesterday was talking to the media, and I found this to be very interesting, right? He was asked about, you know, how he would describe Danielle Hunter defensively and how he does his work.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
He spends a lot of time working that craft. You see, like, even this heat, staying after practice and things like that don't, you know, he's a very fundamentally, like, handwork, you know, like, walks through all of his rushes that he wants to execute to make sure his footwork's right. Constantly out there, like, there'll be an offensive period, he's in the back talking about something or asking about a thing. You know, I mean, he's just very into working, you said it, working his craft, and almost to a perfectionist level. So, it's actually really cool watching him work, even like one-on-ones. We had one-on-ones today. Just he can tell you everything, like, whether he wins or loses, why it happened, what he was trying to do, what he saw. Oh, man, I wanted to do this, but then he set this way, so I didn't do this. So, man, I missed with my inside hand. Next time I'm going to put it here. You know, like, he's very in tune to those things as you go. So it's cool, like, even on game days, talking what's happening out in the field and how we can take advantage of that. So, yeah, very, very, besides big picture, I'm learning football and I'm learning the defense. He's very in tune with the details of pass rushing and how to work his craft. So it's fun getting feedback from him and kind of learning from him as well.
You got to imagine someone that's detail oriented would have the capabilities and the abilities to, with a team that he has played with previously, bring you a level of insight into how this team works. And it's not like played with in the distant past, like last season, right? Like, he has a familiarity with this offense and with the ways that they go in a way that I know sometimes we do this with the players moving back and forth. But Danielle Hunter, I imagine, has a lot more that he's able to bring to the table than your average, oh, he used to play with that team player.
Absolutely. I mean, Diggs, it's been a few years. Cam Akers was there last year, but as a backup running back, but he can't have that same intellectual impact that I think Danielle Hunter can. And I think in this game in particular, not to state the obvious, but that's going to be one of the biggest. I mean, these are the two top sacking teams, weird way to say it, two of the top teams that get after the quarterback in the league going up against one another. And that's going to be one of the deciding factors on Sunday. And Hunter's going to play a huge role, not only for himself, but everybody else in that front seven to try to attack this offense. Coach has always told me that when you get a player from another team, you learn more about the other side of the football, right? So, like, Danielle Hunter won't necessarily help them so much with the Brian Flores defense, but he can help you with how to attack this offense. Sam Darnold was on the 49ers practice squad, or rather on the roster, I should say, last year. Then he comes over to Minnesota. He played really well against the Niners last weekend for the Vikings, and part of that was, well, he practiced against that defense every day and then went up against it. So, same idea now for Danielle Hunter. He practiced against this Vikings offense every day last year, and now for the first time gets to go up against it in a game and gets to tell his teammates, hey, here's what to look for. So I think Danielle Hunter is the guy that could have the largest impact this weekend for those quote-unquote revenge guys against the Vikings.
All right, so Danielle Hunter is brought up. You mentioned Stephon Diggs. You quickly kind of hinted at Cam Akers. I feel like we need to dig into this a little bit more because obviously with the absence from practice of your top two running backs on the depth chart in Joe Mixon, who is your bell cow at this point, and then also in missing Damian Pierce from practice, you're really veering towards a situation where Cam Akers quite possibly might be RB1 in this game. And one of the things he said, and obviously you always love when this quote comes up, the idea of you ain't got to get ready if you stay ready, right? Like, he has that level of mindset, which, I mean, you saw already in the preseason and in training camp when he is, you know, they call him in because he just happens to be in town. Hey, you want to come through and work out with the team? And all of a sudden he shows you enough to not, you know, to make this team, not even just like in a practice role, practice squad rather capacity, but as a guy that people are looking at as, hey, he should be your second running back. Now he has an opportunity to, you know, have more of an impact against the team that he has played with, and a team not only has he played with, there is like that revenge emotional aspect, I imagine, in there some way. What? Because that's a team that, you know, decided to cut him loose because they did not think that he could do this to a magnitude that was necessary anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that he definitely has a huge opportunity to be useful in the course of this, right? And I think that this is where I'd like to go to Bobby Slowick, because Bobby Slowick was asked, what does Cam Akers do well that suits this offense?
I'm bringing it up right now.
Oh, my bad. So Bobby Slowick was talking about Cam Akers because, like, again, he has the opportunity to get a lot of carries, or at least the lion's share of the carries, however much they run the football in this game, to be able to do that. So again, what Bobby Slowick was asked, what does Akers do so well that suits this offense?
Yeah, he's great vision. He's been running, Ram zone scheme. He came from, he did the same thing in Minnesota. He's really good at reading that. We call it riding the wave, finding the right hole to hit. He always plays under control. When he sees it, he hits it. He finished physical, and he has really good contact balance, you know, and I'd say those like are the things that jump out with Cam. You pretty much see that every carry.
Thoughts on that? Like, I mean, seeing Cam Akers, the way that Bobby Slowick is kind of glowingly talking about his capability in this offense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think so, you know, to answer the question of who will have the biggest impact of these quote-unquote revenge guys, answer it a couple different ways. I think Danielle Hunter will. I think Cam Akers will have the greatest opportunity. Because if he is that starting running back, I mean, not only we could talk about the whole, here's a chance for him to leap Damian Pierce on the depth chart if Pierce doesn't play, Akers gets the start, yada, yada, yada. But also, if I'm the Vikings, like, I'm going to try to limit Stroud as much as I can. Texans are down to their third-string running back. Like, let them try to run on you. And the Vikings' rushing defense has been really good under Flores the last 2 years. So I'm going to try to give, as a defense, more opportunities to Akers and see what he can do with it. So I think Akers will have the opportunity to have the largest impact. I don't know if he will going up against this defense, filling in. And also, like, he hasn't been that lead back for 2 years with an Achilles injury, a second one mixed in there. So if he is the starting running back, how many carries does that look like Sunday? How much can he carry the load? How effective would it be? And after that fumble against the Bears, I don't think he saw the field again this past week. So there's some concern there, I guess, too, maybe with they didn't like that fumble, you know, at the goal line and earning back some of the trust in the game Sunday. Sure. So I think there is a great opportunity for Akers. What will he do with that opportunity? Of course, that remains to be seen, but so far it's been good in preseason and in the limited carries last week.
So we talked about the familiarity within this matchup, and we've only really been on the Texans side. There's some other guys on the other side, especially if you're talking about just the revenge aspect of it, because there's a couple of dudes who were prominent on this defense last year in Brian Cashman and then also Jonathan Grenard. And I think that those are really interesting ones because Grenard in particular, if he wanted to have a grudge against this Houston Texans team, I think he could, right? Like, we have gushed about Danielle Hunter, and it felt like that was a move in letting Grenard go and bringing in Danielle Hunter, not exactly like a singular move, but kind of a pair of moves that was absolutely one that was done because of a want to upgrade. And I think that it's fair to say that was an upgrade, but if you're the dude who's being upgraded on, that might make you feel some type of way. And I think that the move has been a win-win for both sides because the Vikings have been able to do fantastic things. You mentioned the fact that they are one of the better, if not one of the best, pressure teams. And I mean, they get the most pressure as early on in this season around the league. So yeah, those guys are going to provide some really difficult challenges against this Texans offense with CJ Stroud, because particularly the way that Brian Flores' defense works, they're trying to create chaos and simulated pressures and all those things. And those two guys, Blake Cashman, sorry, I call him Brian. I was thinking Brian Cushing again because, he's always kind of in my mind somewhere.
Yeah, or Yankees GM Brian Cashman.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Yankees GM.
Ooh, okay.
Brian Cashman.
Maybe that's also where I was going.
We've been saying Brian Cashman early on last year, too.
Okay. Well, so I'm just going through the process later than everybody else. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel better. I'm in a group of good people. But yes, Blake Cashman, thank you, 832, for keeping me clean there. But yeah, Blake Cashman and Jonathan Grenard, both of them, I think, provide a level of option, a level of possibility in affecting this game in a big way. Because for me, this defense and what they do with those pressures is probably the biggest story in the matchup of this thing.
And both guys have been playing really well. I mean, small sample size, only 2 weeks, but they've been doing really well in that Vikings defense. Cashman played really well against the Niners last week. And then JG is not getting so much to the quarterback in terms of sacks, but he's up there in pressures. Kevin O'Connell was raving about him this week about pressuring the quarterback. You know, a lot of defensive coaches will tell you that's the more telling stat than sacks. And he's opened the lane for some of those other guys. Like you mentioned, that Brian Flores defense, it's almost like getting an assist. If you can create pressure on one part of the field, opening up a lane for somebody else, because he sends guys from all over the field, you don't know where the blitzes or pass rushers are coming from. That's a huge help to that defense, and that's what Grenard has done so far this year. And then I'll take it back to Casario's comments that we played a few moments ago, because I think that adds an extra element to this idea of revenge when you swap these guys. And I think, like you said, it's a win-win for both sides, but still, for these players, you know, throw up the Michael Jordan meme, like I took that personally. You know, you're going up against the guy that replaced you. So I think that's an added element. Yeah, guys change teams all the time, but not often do they then face that team and go up against a team that plucked somebody else from the team you're on now to replace you. Like, you know, there's all those parallels that I think makes it really fascinating.
All right, so I want to throw one more potential answer out here. Could it possibly be former Texans linebacker Max Tooley, who's signed to the practice squad of the Vikings, right? This is the thing that we see frequently and probably the thing that Casario was trying to, bat away within the question that was asked of him. But, like, he is the person on the Vikings who is most recently with the Texans and maybe has more of the possibility of bringing some knowledge of the current playbook, both defensive and offensive, to that Vikings team. Do you think that he has any level of impact, or if the possibility of him having the largest impact?
I would hope not. very little impact. Anything he could, you know, I don't think he brings much to the table in terms of insight. You hope the Texans don't go Bill Callahan and they actually change like their signs and signals on the sideline, you know, unlike Callahan against the Bucks in that Super Bowl 20 years ago. So I think very little impact. I'm surprised Keaton Slovis is still in the Texans practice squad. I thought they brought him in just for that Colts Week 1 matchup to get insight, but here he is still with the team. Max Tulia, no, unfortunately, sorry, Max, I think you're bottom of the list.
So if they lose this game, it's because of Max Tulia.
Look, I'm willing to put that on the table. It's a possibility. We have to consider all possibilities within the course of this. I think that that is a reasonable and fair way. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Max Tulia is going to be the differentiating factor.
Forget Diggs. Forget Danielle Hunter. This is the Max Tulia game on
I've
Sunday.
Often said that, honestly. Yeah. That's always been my perspective mm-hmm. on this. All right, man. We're just getting going on a football Friday here in the loop. You got Luke Morrow in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig and myself, Reginald Atatula, hanging out with you. Last night, we saw the Astros get another win with Yusei Kikuchi on the mound. Plus, this weekend could show us a possible last in a couple of regards. Let's talk about that and more next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.